Hey, you guys! What's up with the Sup Sup Playful Banter podcast listeners? Bringing the energy, bringing the good vibes, bringing the banter. It's Kyle and Robbie. Kyle, tell the people how you're living.
I am living like a squirrel on a power line.
A squirrel on a power line. You feel the energy and the danger running right beneath your feet. You're feeling bushy. You're feeling quick. You're feeling agile. But know that at any moment, you could be swept off your feet and taken for a ride.
And that bushy was the first word that comes to mind when I think of myself.
Yep. You are bushy, for sure. You need to grow out your beard, I think. For those that don't know, Kyle, I would say about 90% of the time since I've known you, you've had just like the stubble, you know, like the popular short beard. You've had some kind of facial hair. You have been clean shaven from time to time, but I wouldn't say that's like the norm. You just do it once in a while. You've had a real pervy mustache once, just for fun. But you've never gone real thick wilderness bushy beard. And I know that your face doesn't really support that, but I want you to go for it.
Yeah. The two problems with that are one, I think it would be thicker in like the chin area than the cheek area, which would look kind of funky. And two, which is not very comfortable. Once my beard gets to a certain point, I just get angry with it. And that's when I cut it. It has less to do with aesthetics and more to do with my personal comfort.
You got to push through the discomfort, though, I think. Because it's almost like when you're growing, you know, kind of the length that both of us have it, you go clean shaven, and then it's kind of just like scratchy, like sandpapery for a few days, and then it starts to get softer as it grows out. I feel like you're right that your cheeks don't really grow hair, but I almost feel like people who maintain a nice, like, groomed long beard. I'm not talking, like, wilderness man, like, crazy beard. But, you know, people who have long beards that are groomed, they almost taper them down anyway so that it's thicker and bushier under the chin, but it's not super bulky around their cheeks. It gives you that, like, slimmer, you know, more refined look. I think you could pull that off. I think it would cover your cheeks, but I don't think you need it to be bushy on your cheeks.
Yeah. I mean, I think aesthetically I could happen. I just don't want to go through the scratchy, like, warmth and the when I'm laying on my pillow and I can feel my beard. I don't like that. So, like, even when it's short and scratchy, Danny dislikes that more than I do. I have no problem with it. I'm not oftentimes feeling my face. But once there's some volume to the beard and it gets in the way of things, then that's when I say no.
I think you would adjust.
I get what you're saying. Hair's never gone. I've never grown my hair long because as soon as it starts to touch my ears, I hate it. I can feel it, and it's annoying.
But I wonder if it's like, because I used to clean shave almost every single day back in the day, and then I did that no shave November, and I just haven't gone back because I've gotten used to having crap on my face. So I wonder if like you hate the idea of it, but if you like just got used to it, if like going back to the way it is now would feel uncomfortable for you.
I'm not sure going back to this would feel uncomfortable, but I definitely think I could get used to it. It just, I'm not sure that I care enough to try.
You've always been someone that I thought, if I dropped that guy in the woods for a year, he could do it, and then you would look magnificent coming out the other end. Like, you'd have long...
Do you think this about a lot of people that you meet? Do you think if I dropped this person in the woods for a year, what would happen?
I actually do now because I've been watching the show Alone. And if none of you have watched the show Alone, it's kind of like Naked and Afraid, but they actually set you up for success, not for like...
nakedness?
Yeah, not just to get viewers because you're naked. But they drop these people, and these are experienced like wilderness guides and stuff, and they let you bring 10 items.
Oh, that's a lot of items.
It is a lot of items, which is why that means like they want you to succeed. But it's kind of like, and a lot of these people are like, I could stay out here for a year. I've told my family I'm not coming back for a year. I could stay out here as long as I want. And then they get there and they do 10 people every season. And I swear in pretty much every single season, half of them are gone within 2 or 3 weeks.
Is there a goal amount of time they're supposed to be there, or is it just who can stay the longest?
So the first like 6 seasons, it was all who just stays the longest. And then I believe the current season that's on now, which I haven't watched all of, I think their goal is if you make it 100 days, which would be the longest that anyone has ever stayed on the show, if you make it 100 days, you get $1 million. And I'm not clear if what if multiple people last 100 days, but I think what it is maybe if multiple people last 100 days, they each get the prize. But if none of them make it 100 days, no one gets any money. So I don't know. Yeah. Maybe the station is, or maybe the channel's betting on itself that no one will last that long, since no one's really come close to that.
We'll throw some snakes in there at day 75 and just scare them out.
Right. So anyway, but these people, one, they lose a crap ton of weight. Like they just don't eat very much. I mean, people lose almost like 100 pounds sometimes if they've like bulked up before going onto the show.
Mm-hmm.
So realistically, I'm not sure that you would actually be able to hang from that standpoint.
Oh, no.
You're not a survivalist. But I do think the physical like transformation, I just think of like Castaway. or like in the original Jumanji when they find Robin Williams after he's been stuck in the world for a long time and he's got this big bushy beard and long hair and just looks, you know, like kind of a barbarian. I would just love to see you look like that. Like I can imagine, because you have looked so similar the whole time I've known you. If you just ambled out of the woods one day after a year of nobody seeing you, I'm not sure I would recognize you on the street. I think that's how much you could change.
I have considered growing the hair out because I feel like if I don't do it soon, it's not going to be there for very long.
That's true.
But I'm also worried if I do it, then it will accelerate the process of it leaving my head.
I've seen it go both ways because you have more hair than I do, but we kind of have hair in different spots. I feel like, and I've seen people go for the man bun look while clearly having receding hairlines or having bald patches and stuff. And I really think it's about 50-50 on who can pull it off. Some people, it's almost like, wow, you took 2 bad looks and just made a horrible look. Because like you have the little amount of hair on your head pulled back and stretched. So we're just looking at your scalp and you've got like a little knot in the back of your head. But some people, it really helps distract from your baldness. And I feel like you having the patch in the back of your head is more conducive.
It would cover that most likely.
Right. For me, where I'm missing my stuff from the front primarily.
Yeah.
Like pulling that back.
Yours would be...
That's no good at all.
It would accentuate what's not there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's calling attention. It's basically pulling on the hairs that are currently existing, and that's not what you want. Anyway, Kyle's a squirrel. He's bushy. That's how we got there, for those that haven't been able to track us. I don't know how to make this transition. Let's see. I can do it. Let's focus. We talked about squirrels. Squirrels on the show alone are often used as a food source for the participants, though there may not be much around for them. And our woman of the week this week, hailing from New Mexico, is addressing a similar problem for those that are hungry and in need in the world. Kyle, tell us more.
Look at you. You made it.
Nailed it.
Our woman of the week this week is Lillian K. Peterson, a 17-year-old from New Mexico who won the Regeneron Science Fair, which evidently is like the biggest science fair in the country. I'd never heard of it, but that's what this article says. And for winning it, she gets a $250,000 prize, and she won it by developing a tool that predicts harvests early in the growing season, which helps improve the food distribution and planning and offers a resource for aid groups working on global food insecurity, which is super cool. She was motivated to do that research because her parents have adopted children who are food insecure, and so she wanted to solve that problem. And I just think it's cool that there's a young woman who beat a bunch of boys in science. We need more of those.
Absolutely. I actually feel like oftentimes, and this is just from my perspective as a high school teacher, it seems like very oftentimes women and girls, you know, in their school age, are better in math and science. It's all about opportunities. It's like, it's just when you're talking.
I feel like you're right. I feel like at school age, they're better. And then when it comes to the actual professions, there's less of them.
Right. I think if you looked at like, you know, who are the college professors and who are the professionals, it's probably still dominated by white men. But I'm really hoping, especially since it does seem like we're really trying to invest more in science and math and engineering and technology at the younger grades, that we empower more girls and people of color, for that matter, to jump to the top, because that's where really it seems like all the outstanding people are, is women in that field.
Yep.
So
agreed.
A promising, bright young star in the science world. I love, Kyle, when we do our research for these Women of the Week, how many are young women? Like, you know, sometimes we jump back in time, you know, and we pick people who are long since dead, but who had big old contributions to the field. But it really seems like the youths are inspiring me, Kyle. The youths can get us there, I think, as long as we don't get in there. We just got to get out of their way, honestly. I think that's the biggest barrier for the youths, is all of the adults trying to tell them that they can't do stuff. When we let them do stuff, they blow us out of the water.
Agreed. I think they can do it, and it's our job to help them, not stop them.
Yeah. Kyle, you know who today's sponsor is.
Who's our sponsor, Robbie?
Our sponsor today is Pip's Donuts once again. Today, I went to Pip's.
I saw that, and I was mad.
I know you were. I offered to bring you donuts. When we talked earlier this week, I was like, "Oh, you want to?" I didn't offer to bring you donuts. I said, "Do you want to come get donuts with us when we go?"
And I'm down.
I didn't hear you say that. I must have blacked out during that part. I got my cordial invitation out of the way. I didn't actually care to hear what you said. But anyway, Pip's Donuts, local Portland legend, great. Miniature donuts, for those who haven't been there, they're not big donuts. They're miniature donuts done right. And they've got, I think, probably about six kind of flavors. They have their staples, and then they've got a rotating seasonal one. The seasonal one right now, people, can't recommend it enough. It's a nice summer raspberry. So, yeah, you got your little donut, and you got raspberry, it's not even a jam, but it's kind of a jam right there in the middle, like a filling type of thing, but it's not stuffed in the middle. It's perfect. But then you got like your Nutella, you got your honey, you've got bacon. They got bacon on the top of some of them.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Cannot emphasize enough, go to Pip's. And Pip's, if you're listening, we don't need money from you. We love you.
Just donuts.
We want to invest in you. We want to keep you in business. They have great chai, too. Which is not a coffee. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But Pip's Donuts, go Northeast Portland, make it happen. And Pip's, if you feel the need to pay it forward or pay us back, we would be happy to come and patronize your fine establishment. Once again, post it on our Instagram. But everybody go to Pip's in Portland. It is the best.
Yeah, normally I'm not the biggest fan of small desserts. Like fun size candy bars, I think are crap. It's not fun size when it's smaller. It's less fun when it's smaller. But for some reason, I love small donuts. Maybe it's because I like can pop 12 of them in my mouth and not feel like I ate anything.
That's what it is.
But I'm a big fan of the small donuts.
Well, and what I love about Pip's too, because it's the small donut, you can get a dozen of them, you know, and share it with somebody. But you can mix and match. You don't have to get a dozen of one flavor. So like today, I think we got like four chocolate, we got four raspberry, and we got four, you know, something else. And that's another nice piece of having them be small is, you can pop them. Like, you know, they're two or three bites maybe. So you can cut yourself off nice and easy. Not as much shame in it. And you get to diversify. You're not stuck eating one flavor the whole time.
It's true.
Now, they do also specialize in chai. Last week, and I got a lot of crap for this, Kyle. I had multiple people get after me for this. I challenged Kyle to drink coffee from Starbucks for the first time in his life. I wanted him to drink three coffees. I was trying to be nice by allowing one of those to be a chai latte. That is what my muse gets all the time. Another reason that she loves Pips. But I got to admit, I was under the genuine understanding that that was just super, super weak form of coffee. Like, I thought it was one of those coffees that technically is a coffee, but just doesn't taste like it at all.
Yeah.
But it's not.
It's not.
It's not. And so I own it. I was incorrect about that. Good on you, Kyle. At least I believe none of your three coffees were chai. So you didn't use the loophole. No, you said
I could, and I didn't do that.
And I'm proud of you. I really am. So tell us how your challenge of the week went as a coffee drinker.
Yeah, so my first coffee, I just got a normal coffee with sugar and cream. Because I was like, this is just the baseline. We'll see how just normal coffee is. And it was pretty terrible. I got a short one. And I was sipping it. And each sip was terrible. And I was like, why do people do this? And after about like 45 minutes, I was like, man, I've been sipping this for a while. I must be almost done. And I opened the lid and it was still 2/3 full. And so I was pretty pissed. And so I drank the rest of it in just a big chug because I'm like, this needs to be done. So that wasn't fun. You brought me my second one, which was a latte, a cafe latte, which is also, it's a popular drink. So I figured I'll try a popular one. People like lattes, right? I don't. It tastes, to me, I could barely tell the difference. It tastes like coffee. And so for the third one, I just got it before we started recording here. I walked up to the Starbucks walk-up window and I said, just give me a shot of espresso, please. And the lady goes, you sure you don't want two shots? It's only like 30 cents more. And I thought about it for a second. I'm like, it's a better deal than I could get two. And then I came to my senses and was like, wait a minute. The goal is not for a better deal here.
Yes, it is. Come on.
The goal is for less coffee. And so I got a shot of espresso. And to be honest, it was my favorite of the three because they all tasted the same. They all tasted like coffee, but there was not very much of it. So I just knocked that bad boy back and finished the challenge. I had a lot of people suggesting different things for me. And most of the suggestions came from like two different places. There was one that was like, if you're going to try to get into coffee, like this is like the easy startup way to get into coffee. And then the second place was like, if you want to get this over with and still have it taste decent, then have these fancy shots with whipped cream and whatever with them. And the second one, I think, was a better idea for me because I don't want to get into coffee. I don't want to like coffee. I don't want to drink coffee. I don't want to be a coffee drinker. But the problem was I couldn't remember any of the names of the drinks that people told me to get. It's all a whole foreign language to me. And so they were saying these fancy Italian French words. And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So I just ordered the three basic things that I knew the name of.
The Italian French words. Yep.
Yep.
That pretty much does sum it up. Yeah. I was hoping, why are you so resistant to becoming a coffee drinker? I was hoping because here's the typical progression that normal people go through is when you're a kid and your parents drag you to a coffee shop, you get like a hot cocoa, which I know you do, and then or you get like a steamer, which is basically milk, and then they can put different flavors in it. You can get like a vanilla steamer.
I just got straight up milk.
Or you can get a caramel steamer or something like that, where it's just flavored milk, sugar milk, basically. And then you get into like, okay, you had a vanilla steamer. Here's like a vanilla latte, heavy on the vanilla, you know. And then, you know, the very last thing and really only people that really like coffee get what you got, which was a regular latte, like basically black coffee with cream and sugar or just black coffee. You did it in the entire wrong order that I thought you would do it in. But it makes sense if you have zero interest in actually becoming a coffee drinker. I just don't know why you don't want to like coffee. Like, you don't seem like someone that would close their... I'm not saying you want to be addicted to coffee, because I know you don't. But why are you intentionally avoiding something that you know other people enjoy that could you could participate in?
Because, one, I don't want to be somebody that, like, needs to have coffee. And two, I feel like I wake up just fine without it. I don't feel a need for it. And everybody that I know that drinks coffee is dead in the morning until they have coffee. And I don't want to be one of those people.
That's not... I wouldn't say that that's even the majority of people. Like, maybe the people you know. You know your fiance, and you know me, and we're kind of like that. I mean...
And I know my parents, and I know everybody that I worked with, and I know everybody that I ever have worked with. They're all the same. They're all wake up in the morning, and they look dead, and then they're like, oh, I need a coffee.
See, I'm just not... Maybe I'll be that one day. If I like to have coffee, it does help me, but it's not like I'm... It messes me up for the entire day if I don't have coffee. I don't get coffee headaches most of the time. I think you should be able to go into the coffee realm and find a drink that you like that isn't like heavy coffee flavor. You know, like I think you could be a vanilla latte kind of guy, Kyle. You know, yes, it tastes like coffee.
I don't know what the benefit of that is.
It's the same as liking any other kind of food or beverage. It's just an additional door that is open to you where if the opportunity presents itself, if you're meeting someone, you know, at a restaurant or a coffee shop or something, it's another thing on the menu that's an option. I mean, no, you don't need it to survive. Granted, like if you found one meal that you liked and one beverage that you liked, you don't need any of the other ones. But I think that you know that if there's multiple things that you like, you have more options out there. And that's a good thing.
I know. I disagree. I don't need more options. I'm someone who could eat the same thing every day and be totally fine with it. I don't want more options. I don't want reasons to go buy things that I don't need to buy. I don't want reasons to make stops at places that I don't need to make stops at. Coffee is just an added thing in my life that doesn't need to be there.
It's something you could share with your fiance. You know, it's like
That was the only reason that I would like to do it, is that we could both go get coffee together and I wouldn't be annoyed every time we stop at Starbucks just for her.
See, exactly. You're going to Starbucks anyway. You might as well partake, because I know that you could survive eating one meal the rest of your life. But I think you would agree that it would be kind of sad if, say, that what would that one meal be, Kyle? Like a bacon?
Sandwich,
right? Wouldn't it be sad if you couldn't have pizza anymore? Wouldn't it be sad if you couldn't have Fire on the Mountain, like wings anymore? Wouldn't those chips, wouldn't it be sad? I mean, yes, it's not necessary for survival, but it'd be sad.
I mean, it would be sad. I mean, yeah, it would be sad if I couldn't have them, but I can have coffee. I just don't like coffee.
Well, you're not giving it a chance. I tried to open a door for you. I tried to make your life better. You shut it down. Now let's repeat the cycle. You're impossible.
I mean, I tried to open a door for you and make your life better, and you also shut it down, so we're even.
That's
the cold showers.
Right, that's the that's the cycle. And let's just keep it going. But I think I tried to give you something you could share with your fiance. And I know it's a big part of her life and you're just refusing to play ball. And I dislike you a great deal right now.
Yeah. I've also saved a lot of money in my life by not drinking coffee.
Yeah, whatever.
My challenge of the week this week has been on my list of challenge of the week. Of possible challenges for you for a long time. And so I'm not sure if I've given it to you or not, but it's very appropriate given the challenge that you gave me. Have I challenged you to not drink coffee for a week yet?
I don't think that you have.
Well, then that's my challenge.
I think I did that last week. I mean, just because. I mean, okay, fine. I mean, good time. It's the summer. I barely drink coffee in the summer.
I guess that's true. You don't have to wake up now, do you?
No. So you can...
That's disappointing.
If you have another one, you can save that one for when the school year starts if you want to keep it in your back pocket, because I'm telling you, I'm going to have zero problem doing that this week. It's not going to be that interesting.
Okay. I liked the symmetry of it, but yeah, if it does, it doesn't make sense. Next challenge on my list, no TV for a week.
No, that's no. No.
What do you mean?
So when you say no TV for a week, does that mean like not we're not just talking live TV, we're talking like...
Yeah, no like Netflix or any of that either.
I don't... So during the NBA playoffs, can't watch that, can't watch anything on... Like I get it, no Netflix or whatever for a week, but I can't watch live sports or anything on a television.
That's the idea behind it.
Seems kind of cool.
I mean, I suppose I could give you a break for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because you were nice and you didn't accept my first challenge because it'd be too easy. I'll give you the NBA playoffs.
I mean, honestly, you can just wait until the Blazers are knocked out. Then I really don't care. Like, I would like to be able to watch some of their games for the next week that they're in it. And then, to be honest, I don't really care. Can I still look at Twitter where there are clips of things?
You can do that, yes.
Yeah, so, okay, that's fine. You are taking away my primary, decompression, hanging out with my wife activity at the end of the day by doing that. So you might have to deal with her wrath, but I guess I could pick up a book, you know. So, I mean, that can just be the challenge, and then, you know, we'll just start at 7 days from whenever I stop watching TV after the Blazers are done, I guess. But I would like to
reserve. Yeah, I mean, you can either do that or you can just start it now and no TV except for the playoff games.
I'll think about it. I'll let the people know what's going on. I am going out of town this weekend and early next week, and I'm going to my parents' house, and they like...
It's going to be a good week to do it.
No, they like the TV, man. That's what they do. They sit there and they
watch. Well, they can watch it. You don't have to have them not watch the TV. You just don't really watch it.
Well, that's where I sit and talk to them. What's the point of going and visiting with them?
To sit and talk to them. You could sit with your back to the television.
They'd be like, shh, I'm watching a show. And then I spend 4 days there watching them watch TV. Not that they don't do other things. But, you know, they're retired and we're in a pandemic. Watching TV is kind of what there is to do right now for them. So...
Yes.
All right. I'll let people know how it goes. I'll find some way to not watch in some 7-day period. I will not watch any of the streaming services. Like, honestly, the only thing I watch on live TV is sports. And so once I stop caring about sports for a while, and let's face it, all my teams suck. So I'm not even watching baseball right now. But
yeah, baseball's been rough.
Yeah. Not watching Netflix and Hulu and stuff, that's going to be tricky. That's going to hurt. That's going to sting. That's harsh.
That's the point.
I know. But that's just, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, one thing that I watched on TV this week, Kyle, that got my blood a-boiling, and it does every year, but...
It does it every year?
It has never... We talked a little off-air on this. What has never made sense to me is the NBA draft lottery. And for those of you that don't know what that is, it's a stupid institution, and like many other institutions. But the NFL, Major League Baseball, the NHL, all these other professional sports teams seem to do a very logical thing where if you have the worst team one season, the next year, you get to pick the top player with any player that you want coming out of high school or however the system works. You get first pick. Second worst team gets second pick. Third worst team gets the third pick. It just helps try to balance the league. The teams that need the most help get first dibs on getting help. That's a logical way to set it up. The NBA for reasons I don't understand, other than it's an additional TV show that they can get some money for, but very minimal, it seems like. They do a system where it's like a lottery, where they put ping pong balls in a big old ping pong ball thing. I don't even know if they do the ping pong balls anymore, but
I don't know. I don't think they do. I think they got,
because the way they reveal it,
bad press for the ping pong balls.
Yeah, the way they reveal it now is they just hold up the logo of the team for whenever you're picking. They don't actually really do it
live. Pull the balls out. Yeah,
but they did used to do that where they put all the worst teams in this ping pong ball mixer upper thing. And
like
the
bingo, like a bingo thing.
Like a bingo thing, yeah. But the worst teams have more ping pong balls in the bucket or in the mixer-upper thing. So what inevitably happens is you have these teams that were not actually that terrible getting the first pick, and teams that were terrible end up further down on the list not getting as much help as they really need. I watched this year because for the first time in several years, my Golden State Warriors were slated to get the first pick because we were terrible this year. And granted, we ended up with the second pick, which is not nearly as bad as some other bad teams have ended up. But it seems like 5 out of the last 6 years, I think, the first pick has gone to a team that had like 1% chance of getting the top pick because they really weren't that bad last year.
Wasn't Denver like the third worst team? Or not Denver, Minnesota?
I thought I saw that. I don't know, maybe it was 5 out of the last 6 years, the team that had the worst record didn't get the first pick. That might have been
That's probably
it.
True. But
it really seems like fairly, and a couple of years ago, the team with the worst odds in the lottery that could have gotten the first pick got the first pick. They had like a 0.1% chance. They had like one ping pong ball in there out of like 300, and they still got the stupid pick. And it doesn't make sense to me. I think it's stupid. It doesn't help create balance in the league, and it makes me mad every year.
I think from the league's perspective, I think in basketball, I don't know hockey, but in basketball more so than the other major sports, a draft pick can change the trajectory of a team more than like a baseball draft pick or a football draft pick in general.
Right. 'Cause you only got 12 guys on a team.
Yes. And so there's more incentive for an NBA team to try and get the top pick than there is for another sport team to try and get the top pick. And so I think the lottery is an anti-tanking system so that teams won't tank intentionally because it doesn't guarantee you get the top pick.
I guess I get that, but it still just seems unfair. And it in my head, the only reason they do it is because they get some TV ratings out of that. But it seems like a heavy price to pay to have one mediocre rating show.
Yeah, I don't think that the TV show is the main reason they do it. I think the main reason is the try to get people not to intentionally lose to guarantee yourself a number one pick.
Which I understand, but at the same time, you still have teams tanking. Teams have gotten in trouble for tanking.
Yes.
And you know, sometimes it still works. Like, I don't know. I understand the argument. I just think it's dumb. I think if you don't want teams to tank, then watch them closely and make sure they don't tank. You can kind of tell. These guys aren't good actors. You can tell when they're tanking. You can tell when you're sitting your star inexplicably in the last 2 months of the year. Like, you can tell.
I mean, but you can also tank in less obvious ways than that. And they do watch people and try and get them to not tank, but I think this is just another way of doing it. And I mean, I think overall, I actually don't hate the lottery system. One, because I don't really have any dogs in the fight, but I think overall it does a decent job with the odds that it gives teams. Like, you don't oftentimes see really good teams end up at the top. Sometimes they do through trades and stuff, but not through the lottery system. So yeah, I don't hate it.
Well, you're wrong. Anyway, that's the end of that segment. When we come back, we are going to be giving advice. People need us, Kyle. They've called out. They've reached out. touching me, touching you, needing advice, needing help. And so we will be imparting our wisdom. And for either the second or third time in the podcast history, we are not sure which, we will be doing a taste test of the new flavor icon flavors of Lay's potato chips. And there's some doozies this year that I'm really looking forward to. So take your break and come on back.
Okay, we are back now.
Thank you, Transition Puffin. It's always good to have you here. I think the Transition Puffin is my favorite part of 2020. And I know that that's a low bar, but it's definitely up there on my list.
Yeah, I actually like the Transition Puffin more than I think that I should.
Yeah.
Like in my heart likes the Transition Puffin, even though my head's like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, he's friendly, comes from the north, very friendly, very friendly, the Transition Puffin, keeps us going, keeps us on track, gets us in and out, you know, everybody needs a Transition Puffin in their life. Yep. Kyle, we have gotten some people that need our help. They got Indeed. Q's, we got A's. So we reached down on Twitter, and if you don't follow us on Twitter, at @2gnomes1pig, go ahead, hit us up. We're also there on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and playfulbanter.org. So make sure you're following us anywhere and everywhere. But on the Twitters, we asked the people, you got problems? Because we got solutions, and some people sent us their problems, Kyle.
Yes. Yes, they did. Our first problem is from at Chesaracamo, Alan PDX, and he says, I would like ideas to get more real estate clients. Interest rates are crazy low and demand is super high, so it's a great time to buy or sell.
Genius, because he knows, and this is something all of you should feel free to take advantage of. We have not really had it someone tweet at us and us not read it on the air. As long as we have their permission. So if you have something, if you've got something to plug, like Chess Allen here,
we're an outlet.
Yeah, exactly. We are there for you, just like friends. So if you need a house, if you need to sell a house, if you need a condo, if you need an apartment, if you just need a friend, someone to talk to. Someone to bounce ideas off of. Someone to make you laugh. Someone to make you cry. Someone to make you smile. Someone to make you punch a face. Chess is your guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Both of us own the homes that we live in, and neither of us use Chess. But
great advertisement. But
I would recommend Chess for anything in life. But do you have any ideas to help him besides this fancy little tweet that he gave us to help him get more clients?
Here's what I think Chess should do. You know that when real estate agents are selling a house, they put those signs up in the front yard, you know, the for sale signs. I think Chess needs to get a bigger sign and drive around town. And everywhere that has one of those signs, he needs to put his much bigger sign next to those signs. And it says, you want help buying this house? Call me. And it's got a big old picture of his beautiful mug right there on it and his big wide smile. He's got three cute kids.
It's hard to say no to that smile.
Put the kids on there. Got him holding the three little girls and a big old smile with his beautiful mane of hair. And I mean, because that you're getting directly to the people that are looking at those signs that want a house. And then even if they visit that site with a real estate agent, they're going to look at Chess. They're going to look at his eyes. They're going to look at their current real estate agent. And they're going to be like, I could do better. Right? I mean, look at that guy. That guy wants me. It's almost like a relationship. Right? I mean, sometimes you're out with somebody else and you don't know what you're missing until you get hit with those icy blues from across the room. And that's what Chess is doing. Chess is looking at you. He wants to change your life.
Yeah, my first idea for Chess was to partner with our sponsor Pip's Donuts and just offer donuts.
Smart.
That always gets people.
There's always a line outside of Pip's too. So Chess, if you just need people that are stuck talking to you for you to make a full-on sales pitch, most people stand in Pip's line for a long time and they're not going anywhere because they need the donuts. So you can make your whole sales pitch.
Their attention.
Yep.
My second idea is that I feel like the real estate game is very much a word of mouth game. It's I know this person who's a real estate agent. You should go to them. I'll get you in touch. And so obviously the best way to get word of mouth is to over deliver to your clients. And one way I think that Chess could over deliver to his clients is to bring us into the mix. I think when he sells a house, they should bring us in and we have ideas about how to improve spaces.
Great
so
ideas.
you sell a house, you bring the Playful Banter boys in, we improve the space, they move in and they're like, oh my God, this is way better than I even thought I was getting. This is above and beyond. Therefore, everybody that I know should use Chess as a real estate agent.
Yeah. PB Landscaping and Interior Design. It's an arm of McGowan Enterprises. We do outside, we do inside. We will, for cost of materials only, in whatever house you buy, design a podcast studio, which we reserve the rights to use. And we promise we will come to your house when we're not in a pandemic. And whoever buys the house from Chess will have a free podcast studio, other than all the stuff we put in it. You're going to have to pay for that. But then we'll come on over. You'll cook us dinner. And we will be there. And if you're cool, we'll put you on the pod. And I mean, who doesn't want to be there? And Chess might be there because you know you've got a new best friend in Chess. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, who doesn't want the dream of purchasing a great house from a great guy, having your landscaping and your interior design done by a couple other great guys, and then we come over, we eat out of your fridge, we podcast in a house, in your house. And
your studio.
And then we just make a copy of the key and we leave. I mean,
easy peasy.
I think it's a great idea. I don't see it. And we bring the puffin with us. We bring the transition puffin.
Yeah, this is the classic win-win-win.
Yep. So Chess, take some of our ideas, take all of our ideas, take even more of our ideas. Don't not take any of them because that won't get you anywhere, buddy. But, definitely listen to us on that because I think we've just solved all your problems, even the ones you didn't even know you had.
Yeah, that's what we do here. Our second piece of content sent to us from the Twitter is from @AaronGhirardelli. She says, should @ZKane13 and I get a dog right now, or should we just buy another houseplant?
Here's what you do.
I think you already know the answer to this question, Ghirardelli.
Yeah, here's what you do. It's called compromise. I get the sense that these two are madly in love, which is a great thing. But if they're going to make it for the long haul, they're going to need to learn compromise. So, of course you get a dog. You have to get a dog. It's always the right answer. But you name it houseplant. Or, whatever some of the official names for houseplants are. Like, you got your fern. Like, you can name it fern. You can name it a lily. Mm. Like, lily is a kind of flower that you can have for a houseplant. I don't even know what other houseplant. Like, we even have a few, and I don't know what they're called. Money. Like, a money tree is a houseplant.
Name it succulent.
Yeah, that's a great idea. It's kind of creepy, but
Hey, Sucky, come here.
Hey, Succulent. Good girl, Succulent. Yeah, so there you go. Now, what kind of dog should they get, Kyle? I think that's your expertise.
Right now they have a bulldog based on her profile photo. And I don't know dog breeds very well, but I think that you should get like a a dog of similar size, but of more athletic ability.
Hmm.
Because a bulldog is a great jungle gym. That's for another true. Dog. It's like a great solid base. It's the first dog you get because you're building the base of your dog jungle gym, and then it's a thing for the next one to play on and wear itself out. And that's what that's the benefit of two dogs is they wear each other out, so you don't have to. It's actually less work.
See, it would be stupid to not get another dog at that point.
Yeah. The more plants you get, the more work it is. The more dogs you get, the less work it is. Don't hold me to that.
I will hold you to it. You will be personally liable for little puppy succulent. All right. So that was closing out the Twitter questions, right? I think those were the only ones we had from the Twitter sphere. If you guys ever have any needs for advice, clearly we've just demonstrated our proficiency. Hit us up on the Twitter. We've got a few more, Kyle. We were recently having dinner. A socially distant dinner. We were being responsible. People wear your masks, stay away from each other, but socially distant. And one of our friends revealed at this dinner that they are, well, they're pregnant. Important caveat. And as a pregnant person, they are a part of a Facebook group with other pregnant people who are going to have their babies around the same time.
Yeah, apparently, shared experience.
Apparently it's a thing. I had no idea. But it makes sense. Yeah. I mean, they're all going through similar things at the same time. Why not help each other out? Have a community. So I guess, and so they were talking and some very interesting questions and like needs for advice pop up on this pregnant women Facebook group. And Kyle and I, we were already planning on doing an advice segment on the podcast. Yeah. And we thought, who better to give pregnant women advice as they go through their pregnancies than two guys who don't have kids?
I can't think of anybody better.
Exactly. So we're going to help. Question one, Kyle. And this is kind of crazy how close this is getting, but it's a Halloween-themed question.
Oh.
So someone asked, if we get to do trick-or-treating and dress up, important caveat, if the pandemic calms down, what is everyone thinking about picking? I'm so excited because we will have bellies for Halloween. So, Kyle, can you think of any good costumes that could take advantage of a baby bump? And I can think of a good one right away.
Sumo wrestling.
So that's a good one, right? So yeah, any kind of character or something that's a little bit heftier, that's got a belly. Definitely opens the door for that one. But it's funny because sitting at my desk here, I have a little stuffed animal type of version of an avocado with an avocado pit. And I think
that
would be a perfect thing to dress up as your baby bump. You just wear like lime green shirt and pants, and you just put like paint or cover the belly somehow, or even not, just have your belly stick out of a hole in the shirt, and that's your avocado pit.
Yep, there's your pit.
Simple, easy.
That's a good one. Yeah, I was thinking like a kangaroo. And then the little bump is the baby in the pouch.
I think that on The Office, Pam actually dressed up as a kangaroo 1 year when she was pregnant.
Oh, did she?
Let me see. I actually, I haven't looked at it yet, but I did Google right before we started pregnant costumes for Halloween, dressing up as Juno. So if you're in a couple, you could dress up as Juno and the tall
Michael film Juno.
Yeah, Michael Cera guy. You know, your partner could dress up as that. There's a really good one where someone's dressed up like a gumball machine. I think that's clever.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, here's a good one. So your partner can dress up like a referee, and then you just wear black like sports bra and shorts, and then you paint your belly to look like a basketball. Any ideas, Kyle?
Globe.
A globe. Yep. Here's someone who is making it look like an egg yolk. I think these are all good ideas.
Yeah, that's a problem that I hadn't really thought of before.
Yeah.
Because you have to be pregnant at a specific time, because you got to be showing at that time.
Right.
For it to even be an issue.
Got to probably be last trimester, I would imagine, to have a significant enough bump for it to look like anything. But and really, it's optimal if you're like a month before popping it out of there. Like if you're 8 months deep, that's where you really can take
that's advantage. When you're looking good for costumes.
Yeah, no one wants a tiny globe. Come on. Kyle, someone asked, why does Taco Bell taste like heaven during pregnancy? So I don't know if we have an answer for that, but if you were pregnant, Kyle, what do you think you would crave during pregnancy? Knowing that's not how cravings work at all, but
Thai food.
You think the spicy foods? You like the spicy?
Yeah. I mean, it's like a thing that I don't eat all that often, but every once in a while, it's just like, ooh, I want Thai food.
And it's one of those things, once it gets into your head, you're kind of like, until I get that, I'm going to want that. Now that it's back in there. I think for me, it might be, I'm not a big dessert eater, but I do wonder if sweets would become my thing while pregnant. Like I'm not super.
Sweets are already my thing.
Yeah, I'm not super into desserts. I'm not like crazy into ice cream or like I like all those things. I like candy and all that, but very rarely do I like go to the store and that's on my list of things that I need. But I do wonder if I were to have pregnancy cravings, if that's the kind of thing where it's like I didn't really ever need it before, but now I really do. But I could also see fast food being on the list. Just like I hardly ever have fast food, but I'm just like, you know what? I need a burger.
I feel like Taco Bell is not just a pregnant person craving. I think a lot of people crave Taco Bell.
It's true. It is very true. Yes, indeed. Okay. I think that is all the advice that we can give today. We will be giving more advice on the next podcast. So hit us up on Facebook or Twitter, and we got you. We will not let you down. Results are guaranteed. Kyle.
Yes.
The moment everyone has been waiting for since I teased it on Instagram a week ago.
Sing us into it.
Got your crunch right here. Taste test time with Robbie and Kyle.
That was better than I thought you were going to do with no warning.
There was some jingle that was like that where it was like, da, 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 da. I can't remember what it was though. If somebody out there listening recognized the tune that I used, it clearly wasn't got your crunch right here, but it was something like that. If you can please tell me what that was so I don't lose any more sleep over it, because I can already tell it's going to bother me. I don't know what it was. So, Kyle, we've done this before where it seems like every year. I think it's every year. Lay's comes out with like 4 or 5 select special fan-submitted suggestions for chip flavors, new chip flavors. In the past, I know that we've had like – and we've tasted them on the podcast. We've had like chicken and waffles was one. I think Euro was one. Truffle fries was one. And that one was particularly good. There was a gross like tomato soup one. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
So we've purchased this year's round of chips. We will be taste testing them today on the pod. And Lay's, you're our second sponsor. So if you want to send us more stuff to eat and try, we are your guys. So definitely feel free to incentivize us in one way or another. We are here for it. Kyle, why don't you tell us what our flavors are and which one you would like to try first?
We have chili relleno, Nashville hot chicken, Philly cheesesteak, Carnita Street Tacos, which are ridged, and New York Pizza. Let's start with New York Pizza because that's the one in my hand.
Okay, so a few notes already. One, they're not ridged, they're wavy. And two, I would love to hear you say the word relleno again.
Relleno?
Yeah, it's not how you pronounced it the first time. You said it kind of weird. And so I don't know. I just wanted to point out. Hate it, your self-esteem a little. Okay, we are going to crunch into the New York-style pizza. Take a bite, Kyle. Tell the people what your first impressions are off the top.
It tastes like pizza flavored things. And I don't know what it is that makes like the pizza flavor, because I don't necessarily think the pizza flavor tastes all that much like pizza. But there definitely is like a pizza, artificial pizza flavor that this tastes like.
And you know who used it first, which is exactly what makes me think of this when I taste this?
Who?
Pizza Pringles. I don't know if you ever had those. But for those of you listening, the pizza flavored Pringles, it's exactly what Kyle was talking about. It doesn't necessarily taste like pizza, but it kind of tastes a little Italian. Like it's kind of got a little, like a little subtle cheesy. I think it might just be like Italian seasoning. I don't know. But it doesn't necessarily taste like pizza, but it does taste like the pizza flavored Pringles. And it, I don't know, it just kind of clicks in your head. Oh yeah, that tastes like pizza. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's like it's close enough, but it doesn't actually taste like pizza. I think it's good though. I would eat more of these.
It's a positive. Yeah, no, I think it's a good flavor. This gets a. How do we want to rank these? You want to use your panda scale? You want to use four? Like
I'd give it four pandas, probably maybe 4.5 pandas.
Okay, that's above average pandas. The panda scale, for those of you that don't know, very difficult.
Out of seven.
Very difficult out of seven to score high on the panda scale. I think it gets, you know, 3.5, almost 4 stars for me out of 5. I like that. I would sit there and eat that. And that has not always been the case for these special flavored chips. I feel like we have actually enjoyed less than half of them. So a good one to start
with. What are we doing next?
So I am going to pick, how about we go with, I want to save Nashville Hot Chicken. I think we both have high hopes for that one. I'm going to save that one for the end. How about Philly Cheese Steak? We'll stick in the cheese thing. So, Kyle, go ahead and take a bite of your Philly cheesesteak. Now, I've also noticed, and it wasn't always this way, but this flavor is inspired by Geno's steaks. So there's actually a sponsor on there, and it says that it's inspired by Geno's steaks. I've never had a Geno's steaks Philly cheesesteak, but I'm guessing that's the preeminent king of Philly cheesesteaks, which is why they get they got their logo on the bag, which is a nice deal for them.
So I had some high hopes for this one because I like cheese flavored chips. I like sour cream and cheddar chips, and generally I feel like cheese overpowers the other flavoring in chips. I was wrong on this one. The first initial taste is steak. And then the cheese comes afterwards. Like the aftertaste is cheesy, so it leaves you wanting to have another one. But then you put another one in, and you're like, oh, that's a steak chip, which is kind of interesting. I don't think I would eat a lot of them, but I don't hate it. I'd say it's like a middle of the road 3.5 panda chip.
You know what I think the strongest flavor of these is grilled onions. I think it's onions on there that you taste right off the bat. Kind of comes a strong, crosses that strong flavor. You're right, you get a cheesy aftertaste a little, which kind of softens it, but I'm really tasting the onion off the top. Not really sure what a steak chip would taste like, but it's probably mixed
in
there.
I taste steak, but I do see the onion in there as well.
It's mixed in there with the onion, and then the cheese is definitely secondary, which is the opposite of what I was hoping for. So definitely not enjoying it as much as the pizza one. But it's not the worst thing. I would not sit and eat a whole bag of these.
How many stars you give it?
I'm giving it a 3, and that might be a little generous, to be honest. Maybe a 2.75.
All right.
What you want to do next?
We're doing the chili relleno.
You want to go first, or should I go first?
You can go for it. If it wasn't evident by my pronunciation or incorrect pronunciation of it first, I don't really know what relleno is. So I don't know what to expect here. So I'll be interested to see what you think about it. It looks like a sour cream and onion chip from the outside. It's got like the green little specks on there. But yeah, I don't know.
It's very interesting. So for Kyle's information, I kind of assume most people know what a chili relleno is. It's a stuffed pepper that you get in a Mexican restaurant. So it's a stuffed pepper that's got like cheese and spices and stuff in there. I like it. You can taste the pepper. Not like black pepper, but you can taste like the bell pepper jalapeno mixture going on in there. It's got a little bit of a kick. It's not a spicy chip by any means, but it does have a nice Mexican like style flavor. It's got a little bit of zing to it, a little bit of zest. I'm digging it.
It does have a little bit of zing and zest at the end. The thing that I don't like about it is that it tastes like vegetable. And you don't get any of the benefits of eating something that tastes like vegetable, but you get the taste of vegetable. And if I am eating something that tastes like vegetable, I want to get the nutritional benefits of it as well.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
So I think this is actually my least favorite of the three thus far. This is like a three panda, maybe 2.5 panda chip for me.
Wow. I get where you're coming from with the vegetable because you get that initial taste in there. I think this is much more enjoyable than the Philly cheesesteak one was for me. It's softer. It's more consistent in flavor. It doesn't hit you really hard on the taste buds on your first bite in. I think the cheesesteak one smelled stronger coming in too. And so that kind of,
yeah.
And I didn't love the smell. True. I'll also say, and I didn't point this out before, the pizza ones are on a kettle chip, which is a texture that I really like. You know, it's the crunchier, thicker chip. The chili relleno and the cheesesteak have both been on the kind of flimsier, thinner, lighter original Lay's texture.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason I like the pizza one, I'm giving the chili relleno a little bit higher. I'm going to go like 3.75 stars. It's not as good as the pizza one to me, but I would much prefer it to...
Yeah, that one's more in your ballpark than mine, I think.
Yeah.
Now we got the street tacos.
This one is very interesting to me because... Even more so than the Philly cheesesteak one, for some reason I imagine, because it's carnitas street tacos, which makes me think that they're going to try and emphasize the meat flavor coming in. And these are also wavy, so a different texture there too, which maybe will help carry some of that flavor through. But I'm interested to hear, because, you know, street tacos, they got that kind of sauce on there too, as well as the carnitas, and you got like your, you know, your fresh veggie stuff that they pop on there. Maybe some salsa will come through. Kyle, what do you think?
I like it. I like the ridges. I don't care if you call it wavy. It's a ridged chip. You can taste the carnita part of it, which is a little bit, you don't expect it when you're eating a chip to have that flavor, but I don't hate it. There was... 1 point, like 3/4 of the way through my chip eating experience, where it tasted kind of like a house cleaner, and that was a no for me. But I don't know what that was.
That's so just one little spot tasted like a chemical.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes that happens when you eat street tacos.
I guess that's true.
You know, I really like it too. I do think that having the thicker chip helps. Like, I think if you put any of these on a thicker chip, it's going to make it better. It's strange because we are conditioned when we eat chips, I think, to have certain flavor profiles come across, and meat mm-hmm. is not one of those. So when you first bite into it, you do get that carnitas coming through, and it's just such a, I think our brains are confused because when we taste meat, we're not used to a crunchy texture in our mouth most of the time. It's bringing me back to this like chicharron, like fried pork stuff, you know, that I've had many places. My wife actually makes a very, very good chicharron in a Instant Pot type of thing. Super crispy. Like, I'm getting some of that crispiness coming across, actually. Like, and that's really helping it, I think, you know, just kind of that crispy, you know, well done meat texture, but you're also getting some of those other flavors that I think tone down the meat. It's not just a straight carnitas mm-hmm. that's coming across.
There's a taco element to it as well.
There is,
which is impressive that they actually kind of pulled it off.
I mean, it to me, this one actually tastes the most like what it says it tastes like. You know, I haven't had a ton.
I would agree.
I have, like, the pizza one was very good, But it didn't taste like pizza. Let's be real. It tasted like, you know, Pringles pizza, which isn't pizza either. I haven't had a ton of Philly cheesesteaks, but I know that's not what they taste like. What was the other one we had? I don't even remember. It was
for the chili.
Oh, yeah. The chili relleno is actually fairly accurate, too. But this is the one that I think is truest to the flavor. And it was, I think it's probably the most complex one, which is very interesting that they were able to get all of that in there. I think that this is right up there with the pizza for me. And I'm going to give it the edge over the pizza because it's actually tastes like what it is. So I'm going to give it like 4.5, maybe 4.25, somewhere in that. A little over 4 stars for me. Definitely intrigued.
Yeah, to me, this is tied with the Philly cheesesteak, which like kind of just middle of the road. Don't hate it. I'm not super impressed by it. It's just there. It's like a 3.5.
Okay. Yeah. Our last one is one that both Kyle and I are very excited about. We were very excited when we went to Nashville this past winter and had our Nashville hot chicken experiences, with which we had a few. And we both love Nashville hot chicken, Kyle. I know that we do. And so when I saw that this was one of the flavors, it immediately jumped to the top of my interest, where I was like, I got to know what that tastes like. Because if there's something that actually tastes like Nashville hot chicken, and not just hot sauce, but like hot chicken, I want to give it a shot. What do you think?
The look of the chip, and just kind of from the name of it, I expected it to be just kind of like maybe a slightly spicier barbecue chip. And it's not that. It's definitely not like a barbecue flavor. I don't get a real strong like chicken flavor out of it. It's more the hot to me. The chicken's there a little bit. It's like a hint of chicken with just a bit of spice. I like the spice. It's definitely the spiciest of the chips that we've had thus far. But yeah, I think the actual flavor could be a little bit stronger.
I think you're spot on there. I think this is a really tasty chip. It kind of reminds me of the pizza one in the sense that it's a good tasting chip. I could eat a lot of these. But does it taste like hot chicken? No. It's a hot chip. Like, you know, it kind of reminds me of Flamin' Hot Cheetos a little bit. Like, it sits on your tongue, which is kind of part of the experience of the hot chicken, to be honest, which is good. True. But, yeah, the chicken is not coming across nearly as well or in a complimentary way like the carnitas did with the taco. Now, if you were to ask me of these 5 chip bags, which am I most likely to sit there and enjoy just pure eating the most? It might be the hot chicken one.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, it's not as true to what it's trying to be as the carnitas is, but I do think flavor wise,
it's hard to do a strong chicken flavor because chicken doesn't really have a strong flavor. So I think it's tough. I would have just liked to see a little more of it.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, obviously we're consumers. We have no idea what it goes into making these chips.
No idea how to make a chip.
But to me, that's why the carnitas was even that much more impressive that they were able to be so accurate with such a complex thing. It seems almost like, and you're right that carnitas is a stronger flavor than chicken is, which is probably why it's a little bit easier to do it. But I love this hot chip, but it's not a hot chicken chip. It's just a hot chip.
I would agree. And I think we're on the same page. I think the most impressive of the chips was the carnitas chip because it didn't just get the carnitas. It got the other flavors in there too.
Yep.
But my favorite chip was probably I think the hot chicken. I think I liked it more than the pizza.
Yeah.
It's probably like the pizza is like a soft 4.5. This is a strong 4.5.
Yeah. I think
on the panda scale.
Yeah. I think my hot chicken is the winner, but the MVP is the carnitas. And at the top,
the MIC, the most impressive chip, is the carnitas.
Exactly. Yep. So congratulations to Nashville Hot Chicken. This segment was brought to you unofficially by Lay's. Lay's, you have every opportunity to make this an official segment. Just send us some chips.
Yeah. And if you want our input on like a special Playful Banter flavor, we are happy to collaborate with that as well.
Yep. Spoiler, it's going to have bacon. Not sure what else it's going to have, but there will be bacon involved. And ladies and gentlemen, to our listeners, if there's something that you think Kyle and I need to taste test to compare for you, we are all about that. Just let us know. And on a future podcast, we will taste test whatever you want.
Yeah. You
know, with some limitations. So thank you for listening to that. We're going to take our last break. And then when we come back, we're going to wrap up the pod. Hello, podcast listeners. Welcome back to the podcast. We are here to listen to the birthdays now.
Happy birthday to Hayden Panettiere. Ooh. And Casey Musgraves, turning 31 and 32 respectively. Yesterday, I looked up the birthdays because I wasn't sure if we were podcasting or not. Yesterday was Amy Adams' birthday. How old do you think Amy Adams is?
Well, I did not think of Hayden Panettiere or Casey Musgraves as 31 and 32. So I'm sure Amy Adams is probably way older than I think. I'm going to say she's 34.
She's 46 years old.
No, she's Amy Adams. Amy Adams. The like red-haired, like cutesy girl. 46? Man, good for
46.
Her.
46.
Good for her.
Jeez. That shocked me when I saw that.
She must have peaked kind of late in her career. I feel like Amy Adams has had a great career, but she's only really been like around for maybe 10 years. Which, I mean, that happens sometimes in acting, but wow. It's funny because I think Kyle and I both, but Kyle has talked about it a few times, had a crush on Hayden Panettiere when she was the little girl in Remember the Titans way back in the day. I didn't realize she was that much older than us. I guess I didn't really understand how old I was.
A couple of years.
I guess so. She's 31. You're
pretty old. Yep.
I guess that is only 2 years older than us, but still. And I like Casey Musgraves too. Casey Musgraves, we saw her exhibit at the wherever we were.
Country Music Hall of Fame.
That's what I was thinking of. Yep. So
right before we ate the Nashville hot chicken.
Yep. What a day that was. Scooters and Casey Musgraves and chicken and moonshine and pulled hamstrings. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
What a Nashville experience. Our tweet of the week comes to us from Patrick Chauvinek. No idea how to say that last name. He just said, we spend so much time worrying about being surprised by the future that we forget to be surprised by the past. And I liked it.
I don't like it when you pick, like, cool, deep, introspective tweets.
The reason that I picked that one was because it seemed like something that Jaden Smith would kind of tweet, but it wouldn't make sense when he tweeted it. Like, it's an idea that he would have, and just he wouldn't say it right.
Yeah, Jaden would have that idea and be like, don't think about tomorrow's tomorrow. Think about today's tomorrow. And then we're all like, what the hell are you? What? No, that doesn't make any sense. But it is more interesting and funny when someone can't accurately express, or that what I think Jaden does is I think he has legit ideas. I don't think he's stupid, but he plays into this, like he tries too hard to sound philosophical. And so he just comes across as stupid. But you know, I'm sure 50-100 years from now, we'll look back and he'll be the prophet of our era. And none of us took him seriously, like Shakespeare.
Except for Kyle.
Kyle. Yep. You'll be a very small footnote in the
books of history,
One random obscure podcast host recognized Jaden Smith's genius in his time. And that was Kyle McGallum. Hope you enjoyed the pod. Thanks to Pip's Donuts in advance for giving us donuts. Thanks in advance to Lay's for sending us chips.
Thanks to Anchor, probably our actual sponsor.
Yep, Anchor. Make sure you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, or a bunch of other places that we have the pod. Check out playfulbanter.org, all of our social media channels. Thanks to the Transition Puffin, as always, for joining us. Kyle, what do you want the people to know going into this week?
I want you to listen to all of our podcasts multiple times and send them to other people. They don't even have to listen to it. Just have them click on it, because the more clicks on our podcast that we get, then the more money we get. We've got made like a quarter so far, so we're cruising.
We made a quarter?
Yep.
Hey, I didn't know that. We're in the black, baby.
Yep.
I love it. First time. Okay.
You take out all of our expenses, we're in the black.
Yeah. Take so keep the momentum running, people. Let's build this ship. Let's get it off the ground. Hit us up on Twitter if you need advice, if you've got taste test suggestions, or if you have anything else you want us to talk about. We are there for you. The other thing that we are there for is bacon. As always, we heart bacon. Kyle, don't fear it. Don't fear the bacon.
Never fear the bacon.
All right, people, have a good week.